You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, we still await word on Maxwell Harrison, the Buffalo Bills first round cornerback out of Kentucky. Obviously suffered an apparent leg injury, maybe a knee injury yesterday at practice, non-contact injury. We know that from some of his teammates talking after practice. The fact that we have not heard anything can be taken a lot of different ways. Could be encouraging, could it be discouraging? I don't think we heard anything on Kader Kohou really until today officially, but I do think we kind of knew on Kader Kohou a couple days ago. We also knew on Emerson, the corner for the Browns, who's out with an Achilles injury. We heard right away it was okay. That's what they think it is. We haven't heard anything. I remember back when Reggie Ragland got hurt at camp, Bills camp. This is a different regime, totally different. No Brandon Bean, no Sean McDermott. I think we waited. We had a couple days. We waited on that. They had to wait for some results. So who knows? But nothing's come out now. In the meantime, maybe this guy has heard anything. But we'll get his thoughts on all of it. Thad Brown, WROC-TV. In Rochester, he's been out at camp covering as well. And, of course, Bills Kickoff Live, which resumes again with another episode on your television Friday night at the return of the Blue and the Reddies on the Wester Hotline. Good morning, buddy. How are you?
Good, Sal. How you doing, man?
I'm good. What do you think about no news right now for Max Harrison?
I think you started to go into the line about what it might mean and stop, and I kind of see the thoughts going in your head about, well, it doesn't really mean necessarily good stuff. It doesn't necessarily mean bad stuff. I'm with you. I don't think there's really any conclusion to draw. I think the one thing that I do kind of feel is that if it was 100% no problem, in other words, like they took him back yesterday and looked at it and said, you know what, there's really nothing going on here. You're going to be fine. We would have heard that by now. It doesn't mean that he won't be fine. I just think that, to your point, there's probably a decent or a serious amount of testing going on to see what potentially would be wrong. And, again, this is me trying to play – and using prior experience doctor here, which is not, any sort of legitimate medical diagnosis. But that's my gut, is that we're whatever happened was above the point of, it worked itself out, swelling went down, you're fine, or whatever it was. There's probably some sort of actual, even electronic testing going on to see what could be wrong. It might be nothing. It very easily could be, or minor. But I think there's something that those are doing right now.
What do you think about his Instagram post? I went through this the same way, which I said, well, he could be thanking God because he escaped serious injury, or he could be still saying, praising God and saying, I'm in your hands because he has a serious injury. You could take these things a lot of different ways.
Yeah, I'm not going to try and read. I think we've learned from Stephon Diggs that trying to read from social media posts, it's probably a waste of our time. So the fact he's posting, I guess, is better than not, but I'm not going to really even want to dive into that one second.
No, I totally get that. All right. We've also seen, if people want to diagnose and want to make assumptions on, well, the cart didn't come out, he walked. That's right. I mean, but guys have walked off the field before with serious knee injuries. And let's remember what happened with Tyrell Shavers the other day. It looked really drastically serious. They brought the cart out, and he's going to be back this week, most likely.
Yeah. I think bringing the cart out, even you want to go to the Justin Fields thing, which was like the first big injury of this camp where he got carted off and then was running around the field the next day. I think you are more likely to have a situation where a cart comes out of an abundance of caution, and then a guy can be fine. Although, obviously, when the cart comes out, it can be a problem too. When they don't bring a cart out, I mean, these are – I know these are people, and I hate to ever say anything that goes away from that, but in the eyes of the team, to a degree, these are multi-million-dollar assets that need to be protected at all costs. And when you're highly paid, very skilled, exceptionally experienced training staff doesn't feel the need to bring a cart out, even if where he got hurt actually is probably one of the closer spots on the facility to where you go to for a training point of view. When you don't bring the cart out for that, I have to feel like that whatever was happening was not of the most serious level, you know, and now again, to your point, it doesn't mean that he won't be out a few weeks, or maybe there's something going on that he could move a little bit for. There's a lot of things that can happen, but in the spectrum of training camp injuries, I would think you are more likely to have a cart come out and be okay than have a cart not come out and have it be something season ending serious.
Yeah, I totally get it. Thad Brown, WROC-TV in Rochester. Let's talk about the impact of Max Harrison on the field without him, with him and without him. How big of a blow would it be for the Buffalo Bills to lose Max Harrison for any significant time?
Through 6 days of camp, I mean, if we're talking about regular season time, I don't know if it's that much of a blow, because he has not really gotten himself into a spot where he is the regular or even most often first team corner. It's still been Trey White. And, you know, people have asked me on social media, well, how much of that is Trey White playing well? How much of it is Max Harrison not playing well enough? And I'd put it like almost right down the middle. You know, I think Trey White's been solid, maybe, and good at times. And there's nothing he's doing that makes me say, well, this guy does not belong on the field as a starter. I mean, I think he can still play. On the flip side, Harrison, you know, although he's not doing anything that demands the spot, for the most part, I've thought it doesn't look too big for him, you know, and he's managing and moving, progressing in a way that, although I don't think would excite anyone, is not bad or unnerving for a rookie either. And I think the thing we got to remember with Harrison, his particular game is built on speed, right? Mm-hmm. A guy who can function in a zone situation. Well, if speed's going to be your asset in zone, then what you're probably going to do a lot is sit back, be patient, and bang, drive on a ball. Well, to do that, you've got to learn a lot about when the right time to go is and when the right time not to go is. Because if you play that game, no matter how good you are, when you miss, it's 60 yards the other way. So I think that seeing Max Harrison play what looks like conservative, almost hesitant at this point, is 100% where a guy with that skill set should be. This is not a physical corner that's going to get in your face and just dominate right from day one. He's got to learn when to use his speed and when not to use his speed. And I think in week one of camp, which is still where we are, the way he's been is exactly how he should be. All that said, you know, that I can, you know, kind of justify the way he's playing all I want. He hasn't done anything that says to me he's a number one without a doubt corner right now. So if the Bills lose him, the way Trey White has played so far, I feel moderately okay. You know, the problem with Trey White is that he's 30 years old now, and you don't know if he can stay at that level all season. This has nothing to do with his injury history. This is just about, you know, corners that age tend to, you know, fall off a cliff faster. He might look good week one with all kinds of rest time, but what are we talking about week nine when he's played 8 games in a row?
Yeah, and, you know, with the situation at corner and having some depth there, I think they've built, obviously they feel like they could probably at least, you know, get by for a little while here. If it becomes long-term, maybe they start to look elsewhere. That being said, how about the depth? Dorian Strong had a good couple of days and then maybe just tailed off a little bit here. And I say, I think he's been a little bit more up down. Dane Jackson, a veteran right there. How do you assess what they have behind Jamarcus Ingram's there? I'll get to Tre'Davious White in a minute, but I mean, beyond those guys, the guys that really make up the back end of the depth at boundary corner.
I think the Bills are, if you want to talk about the fourth, fifth, and sixth corner, you know, on most teams, and these are, you know, guys that aren't even going to make a roster in some cases, I think the Bills are in pretty good shape there, just because of the experience to begin with. I mean, Dane Jackson and Jamarcus Ingram, right off the bat, know the defense, feel comfortable in it, know what their roles are. I think you saw it with the incredible Jamarcus Ingram interception from, Sunday or Monday, whatever it was. Easily, for me, the best play at camp so far. I think a lot of that stuff comes from the fact that you've done this 100 times. You've been through 3 or 4 camps in this defense. You know, when you can jump on things, when you can drop off receivers. And when you start with that base, you know, I think it makes it a heck of a lot easier for the Bills to get at least passable play if you have to go to a fourth and fifth corner. You know, and Dorian Strong, I'm as excited about him as a rookie as anybody. I don't think he's shown it yet through camp. But again, we are 1 week into the season, so I'm not concerned. Again, top to bottom, you know, the fourth, fifth, sixth corner guys are I think, really good, you know, if you want to compare them to what other teams are dealing with around the league. I mean, the Dolphins, after today, without Kohu, they might be starting their fifth and sixth corner, you know.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
For the Bills to have guys at that level, you know, as backups, deep backups, I think they're in pretty good shape.
Yeah. So, by the way, Max Harrison, while we're talking, has actually posted again on Instagram. He wrote, "God has my back. I can't lose." Take with that whatever you want, folks. We're trying.
That sounds. Yeah. That my first reaction is that sounds serious. I mean, could be wrong.
Agreed.
But that sounds serious to me.
Agreed. God has my back. I can't lose. That's what he wrote on his official Instagram account. So we'll wait. We have nothing yet definitive on Max Harrison, but that sounds like something where he's putting his faith in God and maybe something serious is going on, but we'll wait and see on that. Again, it's tough and it's tricky in this day and age. It really is in 2025 that it matters because this is the way these guys communicate these days, but we have to always interpret them and be careful how we do, because as I said earlier in the show, guys could write things on social media have nothing to do with football and something about their personal life.
Yeah. I mean, this goes back to what we call, talking about Stephon Diggs. You know, how many times do we see a post from him and think it was about the Bills or Josh Allen or his relationship with the team, and it had something to do with anything else? And, the other part of it, too, is, and I don't want to paint the entire NFL with the same brush, but it does feel like that there are a number of players who thoroughly enjoy posting something that requires interpretation and waiting to see what everyone, but the media in particular, interpret from those posts. And it's just a fun thing to do. And now look, I was, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25 once. I can certainly understand the entertainment value of that. But it certainly pushes me further to the side of I'm going to read what the players post. I'm going to digest it. And then I'm going to try not to draw conclusions, because I'm probably going to get myself into trouble more often than not.
We have a press conference going on down at KeyBank Center, and I'm just reading a couple of things. Jonah Bronstein says, Bill's COO, Pete Gwelly, says 2029 or 30 now are the target years to bid for hosting the NFL draft. I think so. That gets maybe pushed out a little bit. We had been told earlier maybe 27, 28, so 29 or 30, but it looks like the Bills want to do it. They're going to bid on it, but it's going to happen at some point, but it looks like maybe the target years might be moved down a little bit.
I don't, I'm interested to see how that goes. We've done a draft in Cleveland. The one that was in Cleveland very recently, obviously they had one in Detroit too. The draft is late April. You'd think the weather would be nice enough, even in Buffalo, to make that okay. I mean, it's the one that I did in Cleveland. And let me tell you, it rained and it was not warm and it wasn't super. I mean, it wasn't the worst ever, but it was not great weather at all. People still seem to have a good time, and it was a good environment. And there's a lot, obviously the NFL goes all out with experiences and different sort of attractions. So, I would be excited to see what a draft in Buffalo would look like. I mean, to be honest, the Bills might want to think about taking the draft in like 2040, because with Josh Allen on the team, they're going to pick like 30th for the foreseeable future. And it'd be more fun to see a draft in Buffalo if Buffalo's picking in the top 10.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Then, so obviously, you can't play that game, but either way, it was a fun event in Cleveland, and I think Buffalo would embrace it like they do everything else.
Thad Brown of the Western Hotline. All right, let's talk about Tre'Davious White. I thought he was the best player at practice yesterday, to be honest, from what I saw, and I really like the way he's coming along, but we don't know where he's going to be for 18 weeks, 17 games, but man, I like what I saw yesterday. I like what I've seen so far.
100%. I agree with yesterday. I mean, he had the nice pass breakup, dropping on what looked like a cover two situation from the flat defender deep to take away a ball Josh was trying to squeeze into Josh Palmer. He had a couple really good reps in one-on-one. I mean, he stuffed Keon Coleman into his pocket on a one-on-one at one point and just dominated the rep. I thought that the day before he had a rougher day where he had a rep in team with Josh Palmer, where Palmer ran right at him, maybe about 12, 15 yards, and then kind of broke to the inside. And watching from behind, I felt like Trey White had the route controlled the whole way, and then Palmer has a step, all of a sudden makes a catch for no problem. And that is the concern with a guy like Trey White, is does he have that one little step that he's lost to where, not only does he not make the play, but my reading of his body language was that he thought he had it the whole way, and then all of a sudden he didn't. And that is the concern right now. But through 6 days, I've seen more good than bad from Trey White. I've seen more of the physicalness. Trey White's always been the kind of guy that grabs to the point of begging for a penalty but knows how to do it the right way. I've seen him frustrate every single receiver on the Bills roster with that kind of style of play. I've seen him be active and certainly comfortable enough in the defense to know, like he did yesterday, when to move around, when to drop off a route. So the only concern with Trey White so far, like, first of all, I don't think we're going to get the all-pro level. I think that guy might not be coming back. But it's just what I've seen through 1 week, can I get it for another 22? That's the only question to me. If we get the Trey White that I've seen through six practices for the rest of the season, then Max Harrison might have a redshirt year because White will be good enough to be on the field.
I agree. Listen, Howard said this morning, he's on Howard Picks the Bills. I like the way he put it. He said, of course, you never want to lose your first-round corner, but as it looks right now, they didn't lose a starting corner, right? And that's what matters here.
100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the Max Harrison thing is always going to be a little more of a long-term. This, again, was, you know, what, pick 30, 29, whatever they had this year in the first round. This is, you know, even though you want your first-rounders to start, we've seen, you know, from what the Bills have done over the year, that's hard. That's not a guarantee. Every single year, Brandon Bean and other GMs come out and tell us, well, we've got about 18 to 20 first-round grades. And the Bills pick outside that realm all the time. So, you know, you've got to almost reduce your expectations for what the stereotypical first-round pick would be. And in this situation, I've already kind of described how Max Harrison's game is going to make him a little bit of more of a developmental guy. You're right. I mean, right this second, I don't want to, like, dismiss the impact Harrison could have, because his speed, we saw that day one in practice, the way he can close down things can be a game changer, but it's going to take a while for him to figure out. At the moment, this is not, you know, a season-destroying kind of loss, even if it would be frustrating in a lot of ways.
By the way, baseball news to pass along. The Yankees have acquired outfielder Austin Slater in a trade with the Chicago White Sox. This is according to Jeff Passan of ESPN. So there you go. Yankees, I don't know what that means for Aaron Judge, though. Right-handed hitting outfielder? Right? I don't know.
There's got to be a backup. I mean, yeah. How many elite sluggers? I was looking last night. I'm like, they've got Ryan McMahon hitting seventh? That guy is, I bet more money on that guy to hit homers when he was in Colorado over the last 2 years. And he's the seventh hitter for the Yankees right now. So, look, the Yankees are going to be the Yankees. You know, Toronto's been incredible this year. Detroit's still pretty good. Houston's going to be a pain in the neck because they're always Houston. You know, I think the problem I've always had with the Yankees is that when you rely on elite sluggers to be your playoff engine, it's hard to do, because I think that is the part of the game where guys can tense up easy and just not be able to perform at a level, because your level is already 3 out of 10 to begin with. To be able to do enough in the postseason to carry a team to a World Series, you know, you need more than one guy to kind of go unconscious hot, it feels like, to be able to get through that. And on the flip side, it just feels like the easiest part of baseball to underperform in is hitting, because of how few opportunities you get, how little success you have to begin with, and how much pressure you're on if you're a guy like Aaron Judge, when if you don't hit a three-run homer every other at-bat, you're a failure. So, you know, it's just it's never been the greatest playoff formula in my eyes.
No, and when I say it, what does that mean for Aaron Judge? Obviously, you know, has an elbow injury right now, so yeah. Maybe they a little bit of, I guess, insurance for him. Spencer Jones is the guy that they're going to make a decision on if they want to trade him. This left, they call him the left-handed Aaron Judge. I don't know if you've seen this guy, Thad.
No,
but he is he is a huge, like, tall dude who just hits monster home runs. He had a strikeout rate through the roof, though, and this year he's really cut it down. He's been mashing throughout the minor leagues, and now it's the decision. Do you trade him for something that you can get this year, or do you think that he's going to turn into something, right? And I think that's the decision facing Brian Cashman. Anyway, enough on baseball. Get back to football. Go ahead.
No, just a quick aside. Is it crazy how much bigger baseball players seem these days?
Oh, my God.
So I'm a Brewers fan, right? So Mizorowski, the pitcher that went to the All-Star game from Milwaukee, he's 6'7", and he took a picture with a few other All-Stars, and he was like the same size as like five guys. I don't remember what the picture was. But it feels like that there are more gigundous baseball players who pitch and hit now than there ever were when we grew up. Am I wrong about that?
No, I don't think so. I think the size of major league players, I think the size of hockey players has gotten a lot bigger too, you know? Everything, all these athletes. In fact, I'll tell you, yesterday, last couple of days, Jozy Altidore was out at Bills practice. I don't know if you saw him or not, but Jozy Altidore was out there. He's one of the Bills' new minority owners. He's a former professional soccer player. And he's a professional athlete, right? You look at him, you're like, okay, he's not as tall as McGrady or Carter, but he's built. And I'm like, I'm talking to him, and I'm like, you look like you could still play. And he goes, yeah, look at these guys, though. And I go, you're right, Jozy, you'd be a safety, right? I mean, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But, like, holy cow. And he's marveling to me, Josh, about look at these guys. And he's standing next to the O-line and D-line. He's like, how do people get that big, Sal? It's unbelievable, right? And you're right, and that's what we see now. Okay, speaking of that, one question I wanted to get to as a good transition here. One of the guys who is a big athletic guy for the Bills is Spencer Brown. At what point And where are you right now? Maybe you're at that point. How concerned are you right now that Spencer Brown has not been on the field yet for the Bills?
Yeah, there's the concern level is rising. You know, someone asked me the other day, other than this was like right when Harrison got hurt, other than Harrison, what would be the guy that's most concerned of the laundry list of players who have been in and out of practice? And Spencer Brown for sure. Because, you know, a back injury for a man that size, that feels like something that can become chronic and a problem over and over. The other thing for me, too, is that I've been over on the side field where the rehabbing guys usually work, and I've seen Dawson Knox there a bunch of times. Elijah Moore was doing work yesterday. Laviska Shenault was there multiple times. I haven't seen Spencer Brown do much work over there. And the couple times I have seen him do work, it's been limited and it's been short. So whatever the issue is with the back, this isn't like Dawson Knox where he's constantly moving around. And obviously, Dawson Knox is off the NFI list, so he should be back any time. It feels like the road is longer with Spencer Brown. And then separate of which player who has an injury might keep that player out an extended amount of time, the other thing is, if there's a position group that I'd be most worried about injuries, it is the offensive line, in large part because we haven't seen them get hurt in a long time. These guys have stayed ridiculously healthy the last 2 years. What does this team look like if you have to start to break that group down and chip at that health a little bit? I do have a lot of optimism for the depth because it's a lot of young up-and-coming guys, Ryan Vandermark, Alec Anderson, Tylan Grable. You know, these are guys who are, you would feel like their best football is ahead of them. And with all the Bills blowouts the last couple of years, they've actually gotten a nice chunk of snaps on the field as well. So there's encouragement there about what would happen. But the receiver group, as you know, as we've been talking about and has been discussed often, is not super. So this team, other than the MVP quarterback, is really built upon the offensive line. And if you take a big piece away from that, and Spencer Brown is that, I mean, he's developed into one of the top 3, 4, 5 right tackles in the NFL. What does the offense look like? It'll still be good, but is it 30 points in a row for 8 weeks in a row good? I don't know. And that's why the Spencer Brown injury on a number of different levels is the big question for me.
Rookies on the defensive line, I would say Deion Walker is as massive as advertised.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, day one with the pads on, because I don't think you take much from the offensive and defensive line until the pads come on, I was not very impressed. He was single blocked a lot. He wasn't being moved, but he was being stalemated, and that's not good enough for what you want out of that guy. Now, he's a fourth-round pick, and people need to remember that. You know, fourth-round picks are, you know, fourth-round picks for a reason. That being said, day two, first run play in team drill, it was Deion Walker and a TFL. In the move the ball drill, where the first-team offense did not move the ball at all, it was Deion Walker and T.J. Sanders at D-tackle when James Cook ran for zero. So I thought I saw some progress from big number 96 in day two. Look, at this level, being big is not going to be enough. Everybody's big. I know Deion Walker's bigger than most, but you know, you have cleared a bar if you've made it to the NFL and start on the offensive or defensive line. So there's going to have to be more to his game. And as like I said, as a fourth round pick, I think it might take a little while to get there.
Thad Brown on the West Hur Hotline. All right, Bills kickoff live continues. You guys had a show to start training camp, but we're going to be back at it again. I'm going to be joining you this time Friday at the return of the blue and the red, and it's going to be another fantastic season. Tell everybody about it.
Yep, 7 o'clock. We'll be on Channel 4 in Buffalo, Channel 8 in Rochester. Half hour, you, me, Josh Reed, Matt Perino, Tim Graham, the whole crew, you know, just running through our normal schedule as we get ready to go for the season. And again, we'll do pregame and postgame before the first and the third preseason games. The one in the middle, I think, is the national game. So that'll be a little different schedule. But, you know, as always, we've got a lot of things to talk about. We're going to have a little more fan involvement this year when we get to the regular season. That'll be fun. So just excited to get it going again, man. It's you know, it's always fun to reunite with the Bills media family after we all have our summers off.
No doubt about that. You can follow Thad on Twitter /X at ThadBrown7 and, of course, on WROC TV out in Rochester. Thanks a lot, buddy. Enjoy the rest of the day, and I'll see you tomorrow morning.
You too, man. Talk to you soon.
All right, you got it. That is Thad Brown. I didn't ask you while he was on the air, did he sound like Adam Schefter? I think he sounds like Adam Schefter. Yeah, you see, you're nodding. You're nodding, Josh. I was right. All right, I'm sorry. I'll give you a chance. You were having a snack for lunch, I guess, as I threw that to you. So when you get a chance, you could tell me how much he sounded. I think he sounds like Adam Schefter. I went back and listened one day. I'm like, oh my God, like, did I have Adam Schefter on the air? No, I had Thad Brown on the air. But anyway, Thad Brown, you can catch him. Bills kickoff live coming your way. I'll be a part of that. Channel 4 here in Buffalo, News 8 in Rochester, WROC-TV, WIVB-TV here in Buffalo. You want to talk or no? You can't.
Oh yeah, I didn't.
I didn't want to do that with your mouth full. Did he sound like Adam Schefter?
Yeah, it was funny when he answered the phone. He goes, This is Thad, and I'm like, this is not Thad. This is Adam. That's not Thad.
See?
No, it's crazy. We need to find a way to get the two of them to do an interview together, and then we'll really see, you know, who sounds more like Adam Schefter.
So, speaking of national media, did you see CBS actually put out their announcing teams for the year?
I did.
And I want to go through this because I don't think there's really any changes, but let's go through those. We'll do that when we come back. I want to talk about the Bills and what's happening with their schedule into preseason, regular season as well, and anything that's on your mind here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. You can always call me at 803-0550, and that means getting connected with you, our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. It is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.